I'm just another man trying to find out and understand who Jesus is and have him impact my life and transform me. I'm going to stand down here if that's all right, because I just like to be where people try to hide out. And so, yeah. Most churches I go to, you can, I don't care what time you get there, that front row, two or three pews, you can always get a seat there if you're legit, if you really want it. Well, anyway, 6:25, I know some of you will have to head down the road, and I'm very accustomed. I do a group like this of men who, we started out one-on-one at McDonald's down in Centerville, and we've grown to as many as 8 or 9, 10 guys sitting in the booths at McDonald's, and they didn't love us at first, but as we kept on coming, and here about 10, 12 years later, we still faithfully meet there and do just what you all are doing here. So I'm encouraged when I see brothers come together this time of morning, because I know you all mean business. This is not on your way to work, for most of you, some of you, I should say. And so to intentionally come over here means something about you. And so that's encouraging. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll bounce off. Just so you know, I'm falling in love with Alex, this man. It's refreshing to find men who love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just refreshing. And yeah. And because that's going to be fuel. I mean, and so, phew, imagine that. It's going to be, it's what's going to motivate and stir up and whatever, those brothers who fall in love with the Lord. So it's easy to fall in love with His Spirit. And so He's been a blessing to me and an encouragement to me. So thank you, man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do thank you. We settle our spirits now to hear from you, Lord God. Father, this is not a Bible study. This is not just a time to fan through the scriptures, Lord, but this is a time that we might draw closer to you. Your word commands us to, that as we pursue you, you will pursue us. Father, even when we are unfaithful about pursuing you, you still pursue us. And so help us this morning, Lord, to hear your voice, to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As Alex said, I'm going to block it off on my calendar to be here every Tuesday morning. And I know some of you all can't, but if you can't, you should certainly tell others. One, I won't say disturbing thing about the crowd that we have this morning, and I know it's a representation of Ruston Bible, and you can't make anybody come. I wouldn't even try to do that, because unless the Spirit draws them. But you can invite other men. Other men who might have that trouble with getting up in the morning or whatever. There are times that men need to get together and iron, definitely sharpening iron. Alex asked some very leading, intended, pointed questions this morning, which if we put it in a black and white canister, and we have to be careful how we use those terms anymore, because that's kind of touchy. It is, are we going to serve the Lord or are we going to serve our flesh? And I would, instead of looking at us this morning so spiritually, which we are going to do that, let's just kind of look at the world you live in. What are some of the things you're hearing out in the culture you live in, and as people talk and as headlines surface and as news comes on? Because this stuff is the stuff that affects us. Whatever is on your mind gets there because of what's in your mind. So what kind of things are you hearing out there? What is it?
Breaking news.
What are some of the headlines in breaking news? Because when we talk about this, it's going to seem so silly to try, well, we're going down that path. I want to hear something about Jacob. Okay, well.
Sex is king.
Okay.
Harvey Weinstein.
What was that?
Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, my Lord, Harvey Weinstein. Wow, where does that ball of yarn finish up? Anybody else? Come on, that's two people. I know. Is everybody living in this culture?
No.
You can't be. Oh, can't kneel, can't stand. Now they're so jacked up in thinking they don't know what to do.
You got the North Korean situation.
Oh, North Korea? Tell me somebody in this room is not concerned about what where that boat stops. Yes, sir. The Las Vegas thing. This doesn't register somewhere in our consciousness?
Hurricanes.
Not one person has brought up the fires in California, absolutely. And we don't want to go here, but we're going there. But what about the race issues in this country? Or actually globally? I mean, say it again.
ridiculous. My dad grew up in Baltimore.
No.
I probably can't go to certain parts of Baltimore.
Absolutely. That's called black privilege.
And I love Baltimore. I think it's a great town.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's called black privilege. And I know you all may think that's funny, but that does exist. Now, not many. Let me just say it. Black privilege exists. Let me tell you something else. Asian privilege exists. So it's not just in your community, if you will. And I'll be so glad when we get off of this whole color issue. That's only a, it's only a facade, if you will. It's a masquerade of what the truth is. Now, a lot of people will say that's our reality, but it's not if we're in Christ. Yeah. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. Yeah. That's not reality. And one of the things about getting together at 6:25 in the morning as men is we have to realize and reset our thinking to who God says we are, and then what he says. Before you go there, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Even as I think about it, that might be a better place to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are we there? Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is going to mean a lot to you. In fact, this whole book should mean a lot to you. But if you know him peripherally, or if you know him from a distance, it's going to be a little tough because it's not going to be something you normally digest. But look at verse 14, if you will. Are you there? For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Look at 15. And he died for all. Why? So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now, I don't want to get all into the Calvinist thing, but I just want us to take the principle of Jesus dying for all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes. Okay, but we know all are not going to heaven. But the key principle in this verse, he says that we would no longer live for ourselves. And when we look at, does anybody know the title, maybe that's where we are, Antifa? Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Yeah.
Three people know about Antifa? That's okay. And that, you know, I mean, we got busy schedules. Yeah, we're anti-fascist group, if you will, that's made up. Well, they say they are. Yeah, you're right. Which is some counter to the alt-right, alt-left. I didn't even know those categories exist. I'm just talking about this because this is the culture. This is the culture. And you say, well, what does that have to do with us? If you can get the feedback from the retreat, but we're earthly cornerstones that we're supposed to, and we're supposed to reflect what God's intention was for every institution that he has put together, to include government, beginning in the home. And it is my prayer and hope that you all stir up your homes. One of the best ways you can stir them up is, and you're not going to like this word, is, my God, just repent if it's not in order. Don't keep plowing that field if you're not going to repent, because one thing I have recognized, they do follow you, good or bad. My wife was a stickler, is a stickler still, for being at church on time. Not that I'm not, but, you know, we had a house full of little... Yeah. Well, I think she gave me like a given, yeah. So the little ones, when we get, I mean, she was getting four people together, five including herself, and I just had to take care of me. And then one day, my son was about 6-7 years old. We're hauling into the van. And mom hadn't gotten to the van yet. And this little guy, bless his heart, left his Bible somewhere in the house, and he had to go back. So I saw him get out of the car and go back in, and I knew my wife was on her way. Now, she's not like a, you know, she's not going to tear up anything. But I said, son, I said this to myself, this is probably not going to end well. Because mom's, but I'm getting ready to put the seatbelt on and you're not in the car. That's just probably not going to end well. Well, I didn't know what he was going back in the house for. Didn't learn that until after the fact. So he goes back into the house. We're all there waiting. And he comes back with his Bible in his hand. I said, oh, my Lord, what a time to go back for your Bible. Yeah, so that was a good thing. And that gave him a hall pass for being late. And so that was good. That was good. But they do follow us. And we ask him what the deal was. He says, well, I always see Daddy take his Bible. So he went back to get his. They watch us whether we know it or not. They watch us even when we are not even saying anything. It's that spirit that you exude in the home. My wife told me something very precious when our children were small. She said, you know, when you come home, you're setting the tempo in this house. Your whole attitude, your whole perspective, all of that sets a tempo. And it also creates memories. That's another little phrase that was important to me. I didn't grow up as a family kind of guy, if you will. We didn't take the family vacations and do all of that stuff. And so, but on the other side, her family did. And so I got to learn a lot, and I think I mentioned this at the retreat. I'm not a touchy-feely guy, but that she made me a touchy-feely guy and a hugger and a snuggler. And the whole family hugs. I mean, we'll hug a tree if you let us. Yeah, we'll hug a tree if you let us. But that's her influence on us as a family. So anyway, we are supposed to be earthly cornerstones in the institution that God has established on this earth. And when we see headlines like we've been looking at, and you live in those headlines, not only we have those headlines because that life is in exist out there. You encounter it when you go into the workplaces and the communities and what have you. We are such a IT boxed up world right now that we don't get too far from our media pieces. Because life exists in those media pieces, whether it's our cell phone, whether it's our laptop, whether it's our, you know, one of the greatest places to hang out, because I do travel a bit, is just go to an airport sometime. Ooh, my, you're talking about a ministry field. The second to Walmart, the airport's the next best ministry field ever.
Remember the Christians?
Say it again?
The Harry Christians at airport?
Oh, yeah. Well, at least they had a strategy. It wasn't the right one, but they had a strategy. So anyway, as we look, how does that change what we're going into and what we're involved in? How many of you all in here, and I don't know if I asked this at the retreat, how many of you all in here realize that there was such a thing as white privilege? My God, Alex, you didn't bring us out here at 6:25 in the morning to talk about white privilege, did you? You all actually believed or thought that there was white privilege exist? My question is this. How would you ever know that unless somebody bring it up and give it a title? It's been my question. I get it. I came up through all of that time and yeah. How many of you all know who Lecrae is? Oh, wow. How many of you know of his most recent comments regarding evangelicalism? What did it do to you, man? Tell me your name again.
Thanks, Kevin. I actually tweeted to him. His tweets on Michael Brown kind of changed my mind. And I tweeted to him. He actually responded back.
You mean he cussed you out? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No.
More that he kind of gave up on, he said that he gave up on white evangelicalism.
Yeah. Well, so that was the theme of it. We're not going to anchor there, and I hope this makes you feel uncomfortable, not because you're white. My God, this is so not where I'm at. I long to see the body of Christ be the body of Christ. We just read here, he died for all, he did that, and he was raised so that we might not live for ourselves anymore. Yeah. And there's a way to live for him. And so, I would love to have a sit-down talk with Lecrae. I didn't even know who Lecrae was until somebody sent me the link and understood what he's going through. And to his credit, I would say he's going to having his foundation tested. And everybody in this room should be having their foundation tested in Christ. What do you believe? Who do you believe? And do you know what you believe? Because if you don't, the currents of this culture, the winds that blow in this culture, will just take you for a ride. And that's, sadly to say, is happening across the land. But, you know, one of the stories says that he's distancing himself or loosing himself from white evangelicals. That's different than evangelicalism. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the impact that, that the shock waves or the sound waves that that does in the black community, because, I mean, I love this. I knew I, if I sat at the same table with him, I know I could love him because the underbelly of what he's saying, he's got Jesus. But now there is this ideology or this philosophy or this whatever that kind of rolls in to say, you know, well, but have you thought about your blackness? You know, and going back to the home, he was raised by a mother who was very into blackness. Pro-blackness, I think, is the way that, that panned out. And so you might imagine as a young child growing up, if that has been what has shaped and molded you, that's the ink that's going to come out of your pen until Jesus genuinely changes you. And I just believe, because I'm a product of it, Jesus genuinely changes us if we're willing. Now, some of you raised your hand about the whole white privilege element. Is how does white privilege stay alive? Let me ask that question. Yeah, but tell me more specific. Don't be scared to answer, guys. Nobody's going to go to jail if you, you know, just take a... Okay, so tell me the people. Who are the people?
Well, I mean, on one side, it would be you know, black folks that think that this is should be a focus, you know, should be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, white folks that are kind of reinforcing some of those stereotypes.
Yeah.
Emotionally charged political issues.
How do you feel about that, man?
I was going to say something else.
I don't know about this white privilege.
Well, bless your heart. I do believe you.
But I come from a heavily, very aggressive caste-based system. And
okay.
There is a caste in the church that puts everybody else down. And I can clearly empathize with the feeling that they have. It's the me people who want to have the power.
Yeah, yeah.
And the say in anything that they do.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to get in their way.
You get steamrolled.
The first weapon they use is you don't belong to my caste. No, I don't even participate because I don't belong to that caste. I've been there, being burned and processed.
Oh, yeah.
Being a witness of Christ. So I learned the process, keeping my mouth shut, go, praise, come back. So I can understand.
Yeah.
What could be the mindset of white privilege if there is one? I don't understand.
No, you hit the nail on the head in that I don't, he doesn't understand. I have to tell you, I'm going to be blunt and honest with you. I didn't have a consciousness of white privilege as a black man. Didn't have a consciousness. Now, and maybe it's because, you know, Jesus just drove this in me. I look at truth as being reality. I mean, so if the social construct says that this thing exists, then I'm going, to me, I've got to see that thing, and somebody points to that thing and says it's that. You did a good job in describing it. We keep it alive. We keep it alive out of ignorance. Now, I'm telling you all this right now, but you walk and live and work in circles, it may be even in your own home, that this is prominent. It's like where we live. And so while we're talking about it this morning, I have no idea, but that's where the Holy Spirit's got us, so that's where we're going to be until you all have the mic. And then, all right, so, before we get to 2 Corinthians 5, let's go over to, well, we can, 2 Corinthians 5, 5:17 is where I told you. That'll be a good launch pad to Numbers real quickly. Are you there? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That whole internal man that lived and does all of those evil, wicked things that you used to do, you were that, right? We don't do those things anymore. It's not about do's and don'ts. Once the Holy Spirit comes in, it's about wills and won'ts. Let that sit in a little bit. Yeah, it's, I mean, we religion is more of a rules-based, don't do this, don't do that. And you don't know what to do, so you don't do anything. Well, we can't have that. Yeah, and so when we have the Holy Spirit working in us because of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, as, turn to Philippians chapter 2, 13 real quick. My goodness. We don't have to, Mike, you look like you got a question, but we don't have to make this thing any harder than it is. Tell me, where are you there? Philippians 2, 13. Somebody read that, because I'm not there yet, but go ahead, read that.
For it is God who is at work in us.
Who?
For it is God who is at work in us.
Who's at work in us?
God.
Okay, go ahead. That's only if you have the Holy Spirit living in you. God is doing a work in you. And you can be doing just as much damage in this culture by being quiet as you could by speaking out. Lecrae, I think, being one of them. I think he's a young faith, young brother in the faith, who just, he's encountered the times, and our faith will be tested. The default for him was his blackness. And the default, if you buy into it, you know, could be your whiteness, or could you be your brownness, or your redness, or all of that. Now, I'm not just telling you something to help engage the political process, because this is not that. When you look at Jesus' walk in the Gospels, you do not see him encountering or challenging the government, if you will. That just wasn't his thing. In fact, most of the time I see him dealing with government, he was hauled in there. Yeah, he was hauled in there. Now, he was glad to go, but I didn't see him call the government out on programs and on unrest. Every time I see him encounter government, what was he doing? He was trying to share the kingdom of God, which is exactly what we should be doing. Yeah, and so, turn over to quickly to Numbers 13. Now, feel free to ask a question at any time, because I don't want to lecture you. I want to hear your heart. I want to know what's going on in you, because you're the ones that have to go out and begin to deal with this. And not only even say begin. Some of you already have begun, even in some of the circles in which you talk to other brothers and sisters in the Lord. What are you going to say to them? If you think your wives don't encounter this, if you think your children don't encounter this, my Lord. And let me tell you something. Most of your children, as I look around the room, are coming up in a time when the whole black-white issue wasn't as pronounced. Well, guess what's happening in the classroom? They're not sitting in the classroom with just black and white people. There's a whole lot of people in there. Looks like a Whitman sample in some schools. Yeah, so how are you going to raise those children up, if you will? Hang with me on this one. It is far easier to teach them Jesus than to teach them ethnic political correctness. It is far easier. Tell me one place Jesus could not go. There isn't one, because he's already there. Okay. Did I tell you Numbers?
Numbers 13.
So backdrop, going to the land. Well, this is a beautiful thing, because we are living this right here, right now. Look at verse 1 in 13. Who spoke to Moses? Look at verse 2. Somebody read that.
Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Israel.
Okay. I love that. Now, one of the things that I like about the New American Standard, I love that phrasing. I love it. But I like what the New American Standard says on this. Send out for yourself men to spy the land. Send out for yourself. But why does God say that? Because he's already decided that he's going to give them the land. So this spying isn't for them to come back and report to God and say, well, Lord, I don't know, it's going to be a little tough. That wasn't the plan. He says, send out men for yourself. Now listen, the land of Canaan here is just symbolic of what God has for us as godly people. The land just reflects all of whatever's in it that God has. He's given the land. Do you think God's going to give the Israelites junk? Absolutely not. Now, was there stuff in the land? Yeah, that was because of sin. Wasn't his original plan. But there's stuff in the land because of sin. So he says, for yourself, send some men so that they, I like the term, he says, send some men, male bodies with breath in them, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. It's a done deal. Yeah, it's a done deal. He says, you shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, each one a what? A leader from his own tribe. So he was looking for the leadership of the tribes. Okay, each one a leader. And so when we drop down to, and then he goes through the whole genealogy there of who went, who was selected. But look at verse 16. Who called Joshua? Yeah. The tribe selected the leaders, but Moses called Joshua. That's very important to realize. Joshua had a set of stones. I'm paraphrasing here, okay? Yeah, but I would have been the guy, I would have loved to have had a cup of coffee with Joshua. Because Joshua understood his weakness. If you go to Joshua 1 and listen to how God's talking to his spirit, but when the leader, God's man, chose Joshua, he's using his wisdom to pick Joshua. Not who can handle IT the best, or who can come up with government contracting the best, or who, you understand, it's not an external ability. Most churches try to raise up leaders. I don't have a church in that regard, but I spend 97% of my time, if not 98% of my time, raising up followers of Christ. Because not being the brightest bulb on the tree, but that's where the leaders come from. You can lead, but if you're not following Christ, you got nothing. It's the same thing in our homes. You ever been in your home when it's your way and nobody else's? It ain't even Jesus' way. You think they don't figure that out? And you don't want to break spirits in those environments. Boy, he tells us in Ephesians, don't exasperate your children. And then over in 1 Peter 3, he says, husbands, live with your wives as one who is the weaker vessel. She's a trinket. She's a trinket. Anybody got that one thing that sits on the mantelpiece or in the garage that nobody better not touch? Good Lord, don't y'all get this quiet in here, because you just tell you're lying through your teeth. Yeah. You got that, little covering over it so it doesn't get damaged. And if anybody goes near it, like alarm goes off. Yeah, we got those things. Well, that's the same way we're supposed to treat our wives. He says, like a trinket. You don't want that. You want to. So anyway. All right, that was for free. Some of you all may need to make some home calls before you get to work. Some of you may need to do that. All right. So look. All right, so you know, they go in, they look at this thing, man, and they even take the sampling of how good God has been, and they haul grapes out of there. So big. This is like transport stuff. Grapes are luscious. We want the things like that, but the cost is too great. Because they saw something in the land that was hindering, in their minds, getting the grapes. Keep this in mind. He's already told them, I'm giving you the land. We have that ahead of time. It's his. He apportions it to whom he wants to. But my God, we have got to go into Canaan. And that means live as godly men in this realm, whereby all that God has promised that is attached to what godly men get is apportioned to you. There's no such thing as powerless, because it's him working in you. We just read it in Philippians. It's the power of God working in you. Let me drop down to, and I'm still on this whole topic of how we keep things alive. Let's drop down. So they come back and they say, man, love the grapes, but Giants a bit much for us. We can't handle it. Not the present day Giants. They just won a game, but my Lord. Tell me I don't feel sorry for them. No, I do not. Anyway, all right. So yeah, the Giants are too great. We can't get the grapes out of there of what you already told. It's like this. Let me paraphrase. God says, go into the land. They said, we can't. God says, go into the land. They said, no, we can't. We're saying that, but that's how we live sometimes. Yeah. I can't tell her I'm sorry. Too big a cost. I can't do that. But God says, go and forgive her. Anyway, let's keep rolling. Because it got too quiet in here. Quietness makes me uncomfortable. You got questions here. Oh, yeah. Well, in essence, yeah. And the emphasis is, it's past tense. It's already deeded because it's the will of God to give him the land. If it's in the will of God, it's going to happen. It's not, well, I don't know. Good point you bring up. Yeah. No, you're not. I'm going to give you the well. No, you're not. Okay, so let's follow this. Now, keep in mind, I guess I want us to dismount because I was so captured by John. Everybody know who John Piper is? For the most part, okay. So, not whether you for him or against him, I'm just looking at this exchange between him and Lecrae. And Lecrae, I think this example gives us a great example of what I'm talking about in terms of there is something there that is a social construct. Now, each person in this room is responsible with whether they're living, quote, the woes of white privilege or not. I understand it. I know what it means. But I also tell you, and don't get it twisted. There's also black privilege. So it can't be one. Whatever one side is being charged with, Antifa goes into this riot mode, battle mode, because they're not happy with what the other side is doing. Well, aren't we doing the same thing on that side? As we're charging it. So, do you see the ignorance in that? Do you see the foolishness in that? But let's throw Black Lives Matter right in that same group. And I don't care how well you try to clean that up. To say Black Lives Matter, in my head, the first time I ever heard it, just to me, just says, well, what about the rest of the lives? So if this whole thing was bad, I'm not happy about how white people are treating me. And I mean, and brother, I apologize, because I mean, we just left out a whole bunch of folks that's not black or white. But whenever we run into those problems, we just say, and people of color. Like that clears it up. Yeah, like you all aren't people of color. Yeah, that really clears that up. But what I'm saying to us is we can't think like the world thinks. We have to think as God thinks. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Yeah, we have the mind of Christ. And that mind has to be renewed and fed on the word of God in order to deal with the garbage we see out here each and every day. And the men in this room are responsible for the garbage we see out here every day. If not directly, indirectly. It's either you promote it and keep it going, or you call it out spiritually in love, or you're sharing the gospel that there'll be more light and salt in the culture, which is what we're called to do. It's not optional. Light and salt's not optional if you know Jesus. Okay, that's a given. Okay. And so they go in, can't get the grapes, da 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 da. It goes down to let's look at it. Let me close out on this. Let's look down at 32. Let's look down at 32. Are you there? So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land. Now they got the whole all the tribes all worked up now. The crowd. Because you only have a few mouthpieces in the whole voice of white privilege, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, white separatists, white supremacists. I mean, all of that is just so you got the whole tribe worked up, which is where we are as a people now. People are just worked up. Some people, here's the funny part, just like it was in Acts when they wanted to hang Paul, some people don't even know what you're worked up about. We're just in because you're black and you heard somebody say something negative about white people, so yeah, I'm all in. But you go to church on Sunday morning and act like, hey, what are those people doing? So anyway, I'm sure none of you had this in mind when you showed up this morning, but you're going to get two more weeks, not necessarily of this, because we're going to go as the Spirit leads, but at some point in time, we've got to live Jesus in the land at some point in time. Woe is you if you are complaining about, or if you have a distaste in your mouth about what you see being played out in the culture, because we're the answer. We're the antioxidants, if you will, because of Christ in this culture. And I believe this, and I could be stupid, and I'm okay to be stupid for Jesus. I believe that the power of God exists to make a change in the culture. Yeah, and I don't say it's got to be at the White House level, platform level, but I'm also not saying that it can't get there. Why can't it start right here at Resting Bible? Why? And it's far more than just, I was doing a revival down in southernmost part of Virginia, and they, where about? Marion, Virginia. Yeah, I may have mentioned this. And they had pastors from all walks of the faith come, meaning of evangelicals or Protestant. Oh, there's a word I just kind of like, gotta be careful I use that word in this culture. I mean, we got so much stuff going on. Let me just stop on that for real quickly. Be careful how you use the terms evangelical. Stay with born again. That's what Jesus used. John 3:3. Ye must be born again. Because now the culture has its definition of what evangelical means. Okay? And if this is the charge, I actually wrote a response to that whole exchange between Lecrae and John Piper, and that's another brother I would love to sit down at the table and talk with, because John Piper said this. John Piper said that white evangelicals have a lot of work to do. And he was seeing it now in this context of between Lecrae and white evangelicalism. But I think, and I disagree with him in part, because the moment you say, you white brothers have a lot of work to do, that makes it seem like I'm good to go. And I gave you Pastor Milton's vacuum example. You know, if we sucked one race off the face of this globe, let's just say white people. I wasn't heavily influenced because of my audience, but let's just say white people. And we sucked all of the white people off the face of this earth. Do you think that we are still not going to have problems in this land? Let's talk about, give me some stats. Let's talk about the black on black crime if we're going to talk about stats and use them as some motivator as to why there is a disdain for black people. Now, that might be happening. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that everybody who has a revolver, a service revolver and a badge and has been, quote, gone through the train is legit. Are you? Jeremiah 17:9, he says, above all, the heart is desperately wicked. Wicked. Genesis 6, God says, I looked at man's heart and it was continually evil. So let's don't think that you got just a purity patch coming out of law enforcement. But at the same time, and I say this, I'm not speaking for all black people. I'm speaking for Pastor Milton, and I could be blue. I don't want the police officer in my community, when I have a time of need, I don't want him sitting at the light wondering about whether he wants to come and address my need or not. And you don't want that either. But we got him out there. Yeah, because, again, the culture has made this, and again, it is that we're propping this thing up with ignorance. And the only way you're going to chop it down is with truth. And they're not everybody is a truth carrier. So those who are carrying truth have to make it known. And you make it known by your lives. Don't start marching in a parade for some anti-government issue if you're not living Jesus at home. In fact, I don't know if that's the place God puts any of us. I'm not saying you couldn't march in a deal. I had a pastor ask me because he marched in the Charlottesville one, and when he marched, there were pastors who gave him pushback because they said, well, you know, you shouldn't be there. Well, he was already all worked up over the issue anyway, and so I got that. But my charge is this. What did God call us to do? My, I wish we would put that kind of energy on just living Jesus in our. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we just do that. Yes, sir. Kevin, I'm glad you got a question.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is all of us have the same duty, which is to, you know, walk humbly and seek
Micah. Yeah.
Try to follow God.
Well, hang on. I got to correct you.
But yeah.
Follow God.
Right.
Because he said, follow me.
Right.
Now, if you say, well, I'm trying to, but go ahead.
But I think the perspective is different from the reality of who we are and where we're going, right? Like, I do think that my responsibility is to work out understanding, to listen, to be slow to speak, to listen, to hear things. Like the things that I've heard from, I have a couple of folks that I work with that have told me what it's like to grow up Black in America, and it's very different than what's for me.
Sure.
For me, to just hear that, absorb it, listen, and realize that, like, not everything is coming from the perspective of how I've grown up.
I appreciate that. And allow me to address that. I wasn't trying to shoot you down over here, but I also want us to understand we've got to change our thinking. Because when God equips, he gives us Jesus Christ. Are we going to get anything else, or do we need anything else to do what God has called us to do? No. If you've got Jesus Christ, you can do what God called you to do. And I said this before, victory comes at obedience. Doesn't come at results. Victory comes at obedience level. And so, brother, let me help you. Let me encourage you this way, if I might. I think it's certainly fine to because we should. That falls under the umbrella of lament. When we lament, we empathize and have a connection with what other people have gone through. Okay? But when we look at all of us in this room are improper fractions. Because, if you take all the white people out of this, off the globe, and you have that same conversation, you're going to find out that black households were different as well. Black experiences were different as well. And you're also going to find out those differences weren't any different from anything that you all went through. You'd say, there are some black people that are just stinking rich. Just flat out stinking rich. Brutally rich. And there are some that are just brutally poor. There are some who experienced massive impact of what discrimination and all of those things were. And there were some who just didn't. So you've got to listen to a voice out there that kind of helps to... Who was it? Oh, my goodness, I can't think. I think it was from the Afro-American Studies. No, it wasn't there. I forget now who I was reading. It may have been Piper. Either way. Our culture shapes our faith. True or false? Our culture shapes our faith. Well, we took us this long to get to that question. Amen. All right, listen. Okay. I want the answer to that question. Let's don't embellish it just yet. If you hear in quotes, and I'll get you the name of who said that. Our culture shapes our faith. Think about your own personal faith. Does culture shape your faith?
I would say it should not.
Okay.
And the reason why it could is because the more you look at things from the way that I perceive them,
mm-hmm.
the more that's my world. But that's not the world I'm supposed to be living in.
Okay, so if we are improper fractions in this room, and everybody in here is an improper fraction, okay, we are messed up. Yeah, you just need to get that in your head. You are an improper. You're just messed up. And in order to bring improper, and we have that equipment. We have that. That brings us. We have to have a common denominator. And brother, if you ride that horse into every relationship that you encounter through ethnicity, you'll be a weary brother. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be. I was torn up when I went down to the Holocaust Museum to see that. And I mean, this is as a black man, I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. Not to say that, you know, slavery was better. But I mean, that on this side of Christ, praise God, I went to the Holocaust on this side of Christ. Because I'm not sure where, brother, that I'd be in here doing this if I wasn't. But to go in and see that, it reveals an element of wickedness and evil that comes out of a man's heart when pride is his motivator and he wants to be like God. And little bite-sized pieces, we do that across the land. And God says, that's not me. So I do think, and everybody in this room, we should be practicing the empathy, lamenting with those who have gone through something. You've got, there are white people who have gone through stuff, man. Far worse than some black people that may be having the voices, because I find that when I deal with some ethnicities, you're hearing it from their world and their perspective. We are in Christ, and so we have a 30,000-foot view. We have God's view of what all of this is. And he says, I'm not in that. I'm just not in that. God has never been one who was trying to achieve diversity. He spoke it into existence. Then it was just supposed to live. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The point is, he was demonstrating to those around him that there is no barrier. Mm. They have very hard barriers.
Right, so you brought this up, and I have to go there.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. You're good. And I actually don't come out of numbers yet, because we're not finished there. What was the one thing that really kicks your thinking off? It should really stir your heart about Jesus going to the woman at the well. Compassion drove him to the well, but and what did compassion cause him to do? This was before he got to the well. He had to go. He was intentional about going to Samaria. Do you know the backdrop of going to Samaria as a Jew? It'd be like you going to Baltimore and saying, hey, I got a plant. Not today. Yeah, it would be the not today. No, so, but no. Jesus said, and if we're going to encounter these disconnects, especially if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're in here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not expecting this from you. If you just have an education about him or you just have knowledge about him, that's one thing. But I'm talking about the living Holy Spirit in us can go anywhere and let the world figure out where it's coming from, according to John 3:8. Because those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. He gets to set that pace. But he was intentional. I have to go through Samaria. And if we expect to have reconciliation take place in Christ and that we become one as a people, we better be intentional about going to Samaria. Yeah, we better be intentional about spending time with Alex. Alex, right? Yeah, yeah. And I don't mean spending time like, all right, man, so just tell me all of your problems growing up. I'm not talking about that. Do the corner near with brothers of all backgrounds, because they're out there. Some of my greatest relationships come out of the Asian and Indian community. And I say that not as a put down of black and whites, but man, I'm tired of feeding that horse. I'm serious. I mean, we need to shut the oats down on him, because we've just about wore that horse out. And I don't even know what the next thing is. So, I mean, once we, do you remember, not, wasn't too long ago, we were talking about whether Russia was dealing with the elections or not? That's like on page 15 of the Post. You can't even, I mean, that's not even a big deal anymore.
It's my birthday.
So the point I make is this. Think about the mount to ride in the culture, and the one that we're supposed to be with is the one that's on the white horse. That's the template. That's how we are to live our lives in Jesus every day, everywhere and with all. Because even as I hear stories, I'm telling you, what I'm saying out of my mouth right now, you're probably not going to hear out of many black people's mouth. But I don't say it because I'm black. I'm saying it because I have truth. I can't keep in that dialogue and that narrative if I know that you're working with speculations and subjections and opinions that are not based on truth. So I don't put my truth aside for a moment so that I can listen. And I will listen. Don't get me wrong. I'm a listener. If you listen long enough, brothers and sisters will tell you right where they are. If you just listen long enough. And when you respond with truth. But if you don't have truth in you, then you'll start going with the social, again, the social construct of, there's a white privilege monster out there that's just eating us up. Well, I'm not gonna get into the white privilege monster issue, but I'm going to stay in Jesus. I'm going to stay in Jesus because that will segue us back to where I wanted to kick off with verse 32 in Numbers. Are you there? So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that does what? Is that happening in our environments today? And the land here, symbolic of what the corruption is, how does the land get corrupted? I am so glad you asked. Turn to Ezra real quick. I didn't know anybody was going to bring that up, but I'm glad you did. Let's look at Ezra chapter. Is that said?
I'm not sure you've ever made it
here. There's good cop and bad cop. Okay, Mike's been the good cop. Okay, I'm the guy that's bringing it. Okay, here we go. Ezra. Did I tell you what chapter? Let's look at chapter 9. Look at chapter 9. How appropriate. Verse 11. I'll throw 10 in just for here's a principle. Now, our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments. Imagine that. Israel has disobeyed God. Which you have commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land. With what? The uncleanness of the peoples of the lands. Because they were practicing abominations which have filled it from end to end. How did the land get corrupted and unclean? The people. The people were living ideologies and thoughts and belief systems that were contrary to God. And any time you try to do life without Christ, as Alex said, 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so right off the bat, when you start entering into those horizontal level cultural conversations, if they're speaking Jesus, you got one-on-one. You got a connection. You can lock in. But most are not speaking Jesus. So all you're going to have there is a round table of discussions. And here's the, something that just irritates the snot out of me. It does. I know, excuse me, I know I can say snot in here. I'm sorry. A little tickle in my throat there. What was I saying? I know snot was coming out, but I had a reason for snot coming out. Oh, yeah. It's when we sit Christianity, and if you're doing it, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You cannot sit Christianity on the same table with other religions. Cannot. Christianity is not a religion. Where did that come from? Man had to identify it. Man had to say it was that. But what other religion can say, and this is all Christianity is, what other religion can say of Christ? So you can't define it by what it is. He is not in everything. He is everything. Okay, so we're not, you know, you can't compare, well, what about Islam and Christianity. Well, what about it? Anyway, that's for another day. The land, which is just lived out thinking, became unclean because of the people's unclean thinking. You might keep hearing this theme in here this morning because that's where the work begins, brothers, in our thinking. Our minds have to be renewed and we have to feed off of the Word of God, which he says that any man that is in Christ is a new creation. That new creation longs for the Word of God. Before you were saved, you didn't long for the Word of God. I know I did. I wasn't trying to be saved. I wasn't trying to be a pastor. I wasn't trying to help men live Christ. So let me finish up. Let me finish up in Numbers. So verse 33. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And this is that came out of, remember the Goliath that David had that little encounter. This is his bloodline. The Anak. These were the giants of the land, if you will. All right, keep on. And here's a home run, gentlemen. Underline it in your Bibles. Think about it. White privilege. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And as a result of coming like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. There's your engine for all of these non-godly systems that work in this land. And who fuels them and who doesn't? I would say that predominantly black people fuel the white privilege theme, if you will, as much as any whites who might not even realize it, but may be anticipating or receiving some element of benefit just because of the color of their skin. And it is not sequestered in one race, in one ethnicity. So whatever the land is charging that one group is doing, I guarantee you it's happening in the other group as well. And if you're not going to identify those things in truth, then you got no conversation. When those groups are playing out, what is that called? When they're doing their thing? When you have the Antifa going against Black Lives Matter, and when those clashes in the street that happen like that, what is that in its most distilled element? Is what now? Flawlessness?
Lawlessness.
Ooh, ooh, I'm glad you brought that out. Turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. My. Are you there? Matthew 24. Let's look at verse 12. Somebody read that loudly.
Does the increase of wickedness among the multitude grow cold?
Yes, sir. Some of you have a translation that says because lawlessness is increased. Same principle. Because lawlessness is there an increase of lawlessness in this land? This is a wonderful book, men. I'm telling you, you can find some stuff out in here that will just absolutely change your life. But if you don't get it and live it, how do we expect change? Has to be delivered? Well, yes. But I will say this to you all. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for the invention of the bathroom. It's just a precious place for me. I don't want to get too graphic here, but it's amazing how much time you can spend with the Lord in the bathroom. I mean, I figure I got to go anyway. I'm pretty regulated. So I just take all my books and I just go in there and I'll come out when he's done. Well, I mean, and hopefully you all have your own little places where you do that, but my God, we got to get with him. We got to get with him, because if we don't get with him, we're not going to reflect him. We're not going to reveal him. I told you at the retreat, we look like what we've spent time with. If you spend, in this season, if you spend the bulk of your time in fantasy football, then you will be consumed by fantasy football for this whole season when life will just pass you by. You'll look up one day and all the pretty leaves will be on the ground and you won't even notice it. But you'll notice if one of the other teams has got the player you wanted to draft because you don't have a quarterback this week. Now, I'm not giving you a peep into my life. I'm just saying. The point I want to drive home with us, man, this is real stuff right here. And I believe in the days to come, if God gives me that door and opportunity, because it's a voice I don't hear out there. I don't hear people calling this what it is. I hear us all playing in this pool of, well, the pool of what ifs. Well, there's Antifa, and then there's Black Lives Matter, and then there's this. We don't, do you know the one voice we don't hear in all that dialogue? It's God's voice. Who? Where's the prophet for this moment? And I don't mean prophet in terms of Old Testament prophet, but where's the word of God for this moment? And I don't say this arrogantly. I really don't. And I'm not trying to make this up. But I do believe I got one. Because it's not going to make me popular with black people. It may not make, but I'm not going after popularity. I know truth. I know truth. You can't act like, well, yeah, I guess you could act like you don't know it. But what's the fun in that? I want to change life. I don't want my spiritual breath to stink. Jesus didn't die on the cross for that. And I think I said this at the retreat, and I'll quit here. If you don't stay locked in on the handprint, it's going to be a challenge to discover the footprint. It's going to be a challenge to you. How are you going to follow him if you don't realize and become intimate with the handprint? Thomas says, I'm not going unless, I mean, I don't believe all of this stuff. I got to touch something. I got to know something. You got to let me know you are real. And Thomas says, as Jesus commanded, touch my hands. And the next word out of his mouth was, my Lord and my God. At that moment, Thomas is all in. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you and we give you praise for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit to begin to stir our hearts. Father, I had no idea what you wanted to do, but I believe that you've spoken to the issues, Lord, but also to our hearts. Now, I pray that you would help each man in this room, Lord, process what he has heard from you, not just from me, but from you, Lord, and that he would go out and live it. That he would be faithful to it. Now bless each man in this day, Lord. Bless them as they make decisions. Bless them, Lord, in their workplace. Let your favor and anointing be upon them, Lord God. Bless them in their homes. Certainly, Lord, bless them at church. Raise up leaders in this room, Lord God, as you identify the followers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.